as we look again at these Beatitudes found in this great Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord Jesus Christ, here in Matthew 5, gave these great statements that are oh so deep in their meaning, as we've already seen, much misunderstood by fools who know not the Lord Jesus. But when truly we are taught of God, we see the wonders of these sayings of the Blessed Redeemer. And the title of the message today is this, for those making notes: The Hungry Fed. Simple title. A simple yet profound title. The Hungry Fed. Only the hungry will ever be fed. Only. As we think of physical food or physical needs, only the hungry will be fed. Such as are not hungry, you can only try and force feed. But not so with the things of God. Not so. I wonder, have you ever had such a craving for something, some food, etc., that you just have to have it? Now you can make your list and confess it to me afterwards, and then you'll be absolved. That's what they'll say in the false religions, won't they? But we do have cravings, don't we? We all have personal cravings. To one, a type of food or drink will be detestable. They can't bear the taste of it, the smell of it. But to someone else, it's delightful. To someone else, there's nothing better. Oh, the satisfaction. The satisfaction when that craving is fulfilled. How many a husband in this world has had to travel late at night to buy a specific food? Oh, I'm thankful I didn't have to do this. But I know that there are some men who've had to go the extra mile, quite literally, in search of obscure things that their wife craved after whilst pregnant. And yet, here's the problem with it. Here's the thing that they look back on and see, oh, how that was hard work. The more they brought to their wife that which she craved, the more she craved. It went on and on. And he probably would think, when will this end? They've run out of strawberry ice cream or ice cream and, I don't know, something that doesn't go with ice cream. Marmite. But as we think on spiritual things, my thoughts were brought yesterday to the remembrance that is coming up even next year. Some 500 years ago, a Roman Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther had a much different, far more important craving. A hungering that just had to be filled. It just had to be filled. And through that stirring in the heart of this man, who would be called out of false religion, was rediscovered in those dark ages, at the end of those dark ages of the dominance of Rome in Europe, this great truth of justification by faith alone. Justification, to be declared righteous, just, good, not guilty in God's sight, through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and by his merits alone. So dramatic was what this man rediscovered through the scriptures, that he had to nail it publicly to the doors of Wittenberg Cathedral. Persecuted he was, but he did say, "Here I stand, and I can do no other." He found himself so troubled at his sin, and convinced that the many religious works he was instructed to perform, to indeed make himself righteous before God, were just worthless. For upon reading the scriptures, God the Holy Spirit showed him the only way to be justified before God, declared not guilty in God's sight, to indeed appear justified, acceptable by God, according to his divine justice, was to trust by faith on the works and righteousness of another, the substitute saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. For there is none other righteous. And see here in Matthew 5:6, the only way of righteousness, God's gracious gift in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only righteousness. Firstly, it needs to be said loud and clear, it needs to be pointed out most distinctly, that God's elect, his chosen ones, are only one kind, class of people. God's elect are only one kind, one class of people. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The ungodly, they are called. He came to bear the sins of his elect, and he calls such a people as know themselves as nothing but sin. This is the only class of people, the only people that Christ Jesus came to save. Such as will know themselves to be undone before God, will know themselves to be totally, as we've already seen in these Beatitudes, spiritually bankrupt before God. Such people, and only such people, he justifies through faith alone. Oh, but what justification it is. What justification it is. I had a text from Pastor John Graham yesterday. I can only presume he's been studying it in great detail, or he's actually preaching on it this morning. Either way, it's glorious. His message was to me, as he often does, says, "Be blessed tomorrow." But he said at the outset, "Christ Jesus, the mercy seat of his elect." Wonderful. Is that not wonderful? Is that not wonderful? Is that wonderful to you? It can only be wonderful to you if you know it to be true for yourself. To be found under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and declared in God's sight, not guilty, God saying, I find no sin here. I find no sin here. I find no fault here. The Saviour made it clear. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:13. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What does he mean by that? Well, he simply means those who reckon themselves righteous. Those who do this work and that work, and they think because of their many works, they are accepted with God. They consider themselves good and righteous and holy. He didn't call them. He didn't come to call them. He passed over them. They are the reprobate. You who think God will be impressed with you, with what you do and have done or think have done, think again. Please think again. Oh, please, by the grace of God, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, giving you faith, think again. Think again. If God does not cause you to know that your supposed righteousness, goodness, is filth and unacceptable to him, if he do not reveal this to you, I truly pity you. Romans 5 tells us these words. Verse 6. This is speaking to the people of God, those who know that they are found amongst those who believe only on the Lord Jesus. They've been called by God's grace. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, still condemned sinners. This isn't saying, as some would claim, that the believer has no sin and does not sin. It's talking about those under the condemnation of their sin. Still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What a gospel. Although all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all be ungodly, all as an unclean thing before the holy, righteous justice of the Almighty. Not all will be ungodly. Not all will be ungodly. Hear my words carefully. For what do I mean by that? Only some people, these ones the Son of God says of, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, these are the ones who will be ungodly, will own themselves as ungodly, will confess themselves as ungodly. For ask most people, just go and ask most people, if not all. Ask most people you know. Mr. and Mrs. Average. Mr. Miss Average. Ask most people, are you unrighteous? Are you ungodly? Are you ungodly? Are you essentially bad? The answer will be an emphatic no, of course not. I'm not that bad. You see, the majority of people will not own themselves as ungodly, as unrighteous, as bad, as unacceptable to God. That is why, and that is surely why, most people despise the one true gospel of God's free sovereign grace in Christ Jesus alone. You wonder to yourself, why? Why reject so great a salvation? Why? What is it? What is it in man? What is it in woman? What is it in all? Man, woman, child. What is it in them that causes them to turn away and reject the righteousness that's in Christ? Because they will not be ungodly. They are at enmity with God. They are opposed to God. They are at war with God. They will not submit to God. That is why salvation is by grace alone. By God's electing grace alone. If you be a child of God this morning, it's only because of God's grace. It's only because God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that he shed his blood and gave himself a sacrifice for you, and he rose you again from the deadness of your sin by the Spirit of God. He gave you new life. He caused you to be born again. You're no greater. You're no greater than anyone else. You're as ungodly as anyone else, but you're the ungodly who Christ died for. But most people, most religious folk, most Christian folk, if you like, they reject the gospel of God's sovereign grace, because all other gospels, the ones they run to, the ones that beckon them, the ones that attract them, the ones that entertain them, the ones that offer them, the false way feeds and only feeds this. It feeds the self-righteous tendency which be in all of us, in our fleshly nature. But the Lord Jesus makes it clear here. He declares there are a people, though, in spite of all this, there are a people, a particular number, who will never be satisfied until they be righteous before God. For he says, Blessed are those. For secondly, for a certainty, these people hungering and thirsting are knowing themselves to be in want. For that is what hungering and thirsting is it not? To recognize want. Not having that for which they desire and crave. For the first qualification, if you like, of God's people must have is this. Disqualification. There can be no faith. There can be no faith without repentance. And there can be no repentance before God convicts of sin. And there can be no conviction of sin unless God do a work within. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit. God's people know themselves to be what they are. God's people know themselves to be lacking something most, most important. And they desire it was so different that they had that which they lack. Much is said of dissatisfaction. As far as righteousness be concerned, you must be most dissatisfied first. Oh, when you come to be dissatisfied with what you have, only then will you be caused to look and see that which brings all satisfaction. No one hungers, you see, when they are full. This righteousness, the one called by grace, desires after, is to be right with the Almighty God. Righteousness with God is to be acceptable to Him, to be justified, to be declared not guilty. God's people are brought to know they are empty, empty, as far as righteousness be concerned. Not a single drop of righteousness is possessed. To be parched, not just hungering, but thirsting. When you thirst, when you've not had a drink for so long, then you are parched. You know you're in complete need of a drink. And there are indeed, in this life, people who are fussy after what they drink. Oh, I don't like normal water. I've got to have some sugar in it. I've got to have a fizzy drink. I've got to have fruit juice. Not so when they are parched, truly thirsty, like they think they have no life in them. They will never turn down that drop of water. For Christ Jesus is that living water. He is that living water. And none who thirst after Him will ever reject Him. Such a one brought to hunger and thirst after righteousness will know the truth of these words as found in Job 15:14. What is man? That he should be clean. And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. And the one who knows themselves to be in such a state of need, says, that is me. That is me. I am an unclean thing. I am unrighteous. I have no righteousness. As it is written in Romans 3 verse 10, quoting Psalm 14, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not even a true believer in that sense. Not even a true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the flesh, there is no righteousness. But in the new nature, in the new nature created after the image of Christ Jesus, they are righteous before God. Having been clothed in a robe, not their own. Thirdly, see, hungering and thirsting after righteousness is to hunger and thirst for him who is all righteousness. You see, the false messages that you hear proclaimed of all persuasions, they are ultimately all telling you, do this, do that, do the other. This will gain you access to God. You will be somehow accepted to God by something you did. You'll be righteous. But to hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst after what you are not. And yet to hunger and thirst after him who is all that you need. It is to hunger for Christ. And for Christ alone. And if you are to know peace with God, if you are to be declared righteous as he declares you to be, not guilty in him, justified and free from condemnation, you must have this desire stirred within. You will never go after it. You will never hunger for it. You will never thirst for it unless God stir this work within. That which is from outside must affect you within. Now, those who know me know that I love spicy food. I love spicy Indian and Pakistani food. And sometimes when I go past the various food outlets in Tooting Broadway, the smell just creates in me a craving for that food. It was so in a much greater way, in a much more needful way. When God the Holy Spirit created faith in you who believe, you had to be born again, as Christ said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot even crave after it. He cannot even want it. But God, the Holy Spirit, performs this great work within your soul. And when he does, as you hear the gospel of God's grace, that Christ and him crucified gives you righteousness before God. A righteousness not your own, but to own. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When you truly hear this message of the gospel, the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, oh, the craving that is stirred up within your soul to be right with God, to be righteous before God, you are caused irresistibly to seek after the righteousness drawn by that which God makes you to desire after. This is called the effectual call of the gospel. The effectual call of grace. Simply put, it means that when the gospel comes forth in such mighty power, when it comes to you by the Spirit of the living God, there is an effect, and there always is an effect. And you will come. You will be caused to desire after. But if the gospel come not to you, you will never desire. Fourthly, our text makes this great and faithful promise. But before we look fourthly, I must draw to you an illustration which has actually been brought to my mind this very second. Just watching yesterday evening the sci-fi program, The X-Files, and there was this thing that was affecting people by their hearing, by their inner hearing. And the only one in an area that was not affected was this one elderly lady who was deaf. Who was deaf. And so the Lord Jesus says, have ears to hear. Blessed are they who have ears to hear. Oh, that God give you ears to hear inwardly, not just outwardly. For fourthly, our text makes this great and faithful promise. It's a faithful promise. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they... Now hear it in the context of the words. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. This group of people, the elect of God, that will, that do. They do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why are they blessed? For they shall be filled. Oh, what a statement. No indication of lack at all now. What a simple word full is. Filled. Filled. For as far as righteousness with God be concerned, the one trusting through faith on Christ Jesus alone, having no confidence in the flesh, as Paul says in Philippians 3, has no more need. No more need of righteousness with God. No need to do this or do that. Accepted with God. Accepted in the beloved. See if this be not right. By the witness of God's infallible word. For Jesus Christ the Lord says, they shall be filled. How much more proof do we need? Satisfied, it means. To be filled means to be satisfied. To be satisfied and so to be complete before God. God requires no more now. Divine justice has been fulfilled in Christ. By his perfect obedience to his perfect law. Whereby which, if no man fulfill that law, he cannot come before God. But Christ, the substitute Saviour, has fulfilled that perfect law. And he has fulfilled that perfect law's demands that justice be meted out on the guilty sinner. For he bore in himself, in his own body, on the tree, the sins of his people. He was made a curse for us. And so we can say with the apostle, I am crucified with Christ. God requires no more. As Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in him. And you are complete in him. Completely before God, appearing before God, righteous. Amazing. How is it that such are filled, given righteousness? This, and this alone, is the almighty work of God in Christ Jesus, as he gives faith to the ones he came to save. Christ Jesus, by his sufferings at the cross, bearing the sins of his people, his burial and resurrection, has done it, achieved it. As he said to John the Baptist when he came to be baptized, to symbolize what he would do, as opposed to those who will be baptized next week, symbolizing what he has done. Permit it now, for thus it fulfills all righteousness. By his life, death, burial and glorious resurrection, his people are made the righteousness of God. Righteousness belongs to us who belong to Christ. As Daniel prophesied of the Lord Jesus, that's what he would do when he's cut off, not for his sin, but the sins of the people, to bring in everlasting righteousness. He's done it. Righteousness belongs to us who believe by what is called imputation. Now don't be frightened with such words. Don't be frightened of the word, but rejoice at the word. Rejoice if this be you. To be imputed, meaning it is held to your account as your own now. It's yours. For this is what it means to be filled, satisfied with righteousness. And Abraham, the patriarch of old, is presented before us in Romans 4 as an example as how we receive righteousness from God, peace and forgiveness of sin. Romans 4 telling us this. And there is no other way than the way Abraham was declared righteous. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised him, God and Abraham didn't just believe the promise of Isaac, the seed that would come, though he was stricken in years, and indeed the deadness of Sarah's womb meant that they could not by any normal means have a child other than by the miraculous work of God. He looked beyond that. He embraced the promises of Christ. Just read it in Hebrews 11. He saw the promise of God, that Christ was indeed his shield, his exceedingly great reward, as he said to him. The word of the Lord appeared to him in a vision. The word of God, he who is the word, Christ, appeared to him and he believed. What does it say? It says that indeed he believed, being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness, or imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us who believe. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences and was raised because of our justification. See these glorious words in verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Are you persuaded, as Abraham was fully persuaded? Are you fully persuaded of Christ? Are you persuaded of Christ and what he has achieved by his sacrifice at the cross? Then believe on him now and seek his righteousness. You will be filled. He promises. God will accept you as righteous if you know this hungering after him alone and you seek him now. All for whom the Redeemer gave himself a ransom for many. All of them, dear friends, do not be convinced by anyone that God will lose any of his elect. All of them for whom he shed his precious blood and died, all of them that he rose again to justify, will know this state of the forgiveness of sin, of justification with God, to be free from condemnation. All of them, all the elect of God, must and will be saved. All of them. For they are. Once again, we see the Saviour uses this term. They are blessed. They are blessed. And so they will hunger and thirst. And so they will be filled. We read these words earlier on. We turn to them now. What great encouragement to go on in the service of the gospel and to proclaim this unchanging message. Jeremiah chapter 23. In his days, Judah will be saved. And Israel will dwell safely. As the apostle says in Romans 11, this is talking about all the elect, Jew and Gentile. Now this is his name, by which he will be called. They will cry out to him. They will cry out to him, and they will believe him to be so. The Lord, our righteousness. Blessed are them that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled abundantly, eternally. Amen.